الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا مولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم لك الحمد كما أنت أهله وصل على محمد كما أنت أهله وافعل بنا كما أهله فإنك أهل التقوى وأهل المغفرة. We begin by praising and glorifying our Lord, our Cherisher, our Sustainer, our Creator, and may His peace and blessings be upon His beloved messengers and prophets, and His final messenger and prophet Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and on the righteous Alhamdulillah, by the grace and fadl of Allah Azza wa Jal, in the last two discourses you have heard some of the primary teachings which one needs to understand before fully comprehending the station of tawadu and humbleness and humility, that what it is and how to attain it and how much virtuous quality and trait it is, because it was the station and the highest state of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because Allah Azza wa Jal, whenever He mentioned Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the most honorable way, He mentioned Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's quality of abd and abdiya. For example, when at the night of Isra wal Miraj, when Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned, when He invited His messenger to visit with His physical body the dominion of heavens and earth, and above the heavens all the jannats, and then beyond it the throne of Allah Azza wa Jal, the arsh, and beyond, Allah Azza wa Jal said in the Quran, Subhanallazi, glorified is He, asra bi abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa, who took His abd, His servant, abdihi. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in the midst of this and the climax of that journey of Mi'raj, of ascension, then Allah Azza wa Jal also said in another surah, Surah An-Najm, فَأَوْحَى إِلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ مَا أَوْحَى. Abdiya meaning humbleness, servitude and servanthood and slavery of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that is from where the word ibadah, which you hear that a person should worship Allah or do the ibadah, or you hear the verse very often, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that I have not created the human and jinn but for عَبِدُونَ, but for لِإِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, but for to worship. And ibadah is, what is ibadah? Ibadah is not prayers only. It's not zakah or hajj or zikr only. But ibadah is every act, the scholars say, every act which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes. So then a person can understand how wide this concept and how broad this the meaning of this word is. Ibadah is the every act of person which is allowed and liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everything from the time you are born or from the time you awake to your sleep, and including the sleep, and including when you are dying, all the amal which are allowed and liked by Allah, if a person performs with the good intention, they are called, they are ibadah. They come in the circle of ibadah. That is the major difference between the religion of Islam and other religions. Because many of the religions, they confine their worship to their rituals only when they are praying, when they are fasting, when they are in place of worship. They consider that they are worshipping. When they are outside, they say it is our personal matter between us and Allah Azza wa Jal. In their business, they have forgot Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They consider it reasonably acceptable to defraud anyone in the business, while they might be very devoted to their worship in their own sense. When they are at home with their brothers, sisters, friends, children, wife or husband, they might be, a person might be very devotee, going to the mosque and praying. But when he or I come to the house, I am angry and agitated and shouting at the children and wife and thinking that still I am somehow a pious and righteous person. And this is a different matter. When I am with friends, I am socializing, that is now my social, it's a social occasion. For example, of marriage, there is a festival of marriage, another festival. So a person begins to then drift away from Allah Azza wa Jal. While the mosque or the zaviya or the place of worship is really a training ground, is a training ground, but the real battle or the real test is then outside, in the other realms and other parts of life. Are you good Muslim when you are praying? Are you good Muslim then when you are outside shopping or doing business? Are you, because that Allah, our Lord, who is our Lord in the mosque or the place of worship, He is our Lord when you are outside as well. The power and the right which He has over you in the place of worship or in the mosque, He has the same right over you when you are outside. So that is why Islam said that there is no rahbaniya in Islam. There is no concept of monasticism, leaving the world and sitting in a jungle or a cave. Because why a person goes there, if someone is going there to worship, well, he can or she can worship here as well while doing business. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the hadith that there are certain sins of a person which are not forgiven due to the prayers, due to fasting, due to other worship. They are only forgiven the hardship which a person suffers or goes through when he or she is trying to earn livelihood for their children. When a person is doing labor work or any kind of business or the hard work he is doing, so the difficulties which he will overcome, he will go through. Rasulullah said that there are certain sins, they are such severe sins that even with prayer they are not, after praying they are not forgiven. While Prophet said regarding prayers that what do you say about a person who leaves work and between his workplace and his house there are five rivers, and when he leaves work he goes and he takes a ghusl and a bath in the first river because his body is now soiled or unclean due to working. So he takes a bath in the first river, then he goes towards his house, there's a second canal or river, he takes a bath there, then the third, then the fourth, five times he takes a bath in a clean, deep water. And then Prophet said to the companion that what do you consider, will there be any dirt or uncleanliness left on his body? They said, Ya Rasulullah, no. Prophet said, this is the example of a Muslim who performs five prayers daily, five salah, paanch namazein jo padhta hai banda. That work, what is the work of a Muslim living in this world? A person is living in this world, you interact with people, some the good, some bad, some worst, some are very gentle example which human should follow. A person commits, person is not an angel, he can commit sins or detestful things. So during his work until evening when he prays his last prayer, his sins are washed. His sins are washed away. But ulama has said that these are specific sins which are called sagira, minor sins. So but I was saying to you before that Rasulullah said there are certain sins which cannot be, they are such severe nature, they cannot be, they are not forgiven due to prayers. Even in this category they are not included. He said only not even fasting. Fasting is a great ibadah. But they are forgiven due to the hardship and struggle and striving and an anxiety and pressure which a person is going through earning halal, lawful rizq to fulfill the rights of his children, his wife, himself and his parents. To usko iska bhi jo hai bahut ajr aur sawab jo milta hai. Certain sins are forgiven, imagine, and as I said that they cannot be forgiven otherwise. So if there is, so in Islam, meaning that this act of earning has even superseded in the expiation of sins from even the namaz, salah and fasting even. Because there are certain sins which are forgiven. So in Islam, alhamdulillah, by the fadl of Allah Azza wa Jal, it's a complete deen, no addition to it until day of judgment in its principles and teachings. There is no concept. When a person is in social life, he is in his home, domestic, should be the same. If he finds a change in himself, this means, although he has trained, but his training is not successful. You see, a thing or a product is tested. When it is tested so that it can perform. But when it comes into actual performance, it's a disaster. It doesn't mean that it's any successful. How many times, as you have heard in the past decade or two decades, spaceships, utmost care is taken that there is nothing wrong with the spaceship because it is very, very dangerous. It will fly, travel at high speed. So utmost care is taken. Extra cautious, it is checked again and again. But many a time it blasts, something goes, and people have been killed in the past, also recently in America and other countries, that when they blast or when they are something goes wrong. This means they were tested, but when the actual journey started, they say the journey is unaccomplished. The task unaccomplished. They were not able to reach to their destination, which was the moon or anywhere. So similarly, no matter how much you are doing zikr and you are performing ibadah in the place of worship, salah and prayers, but if outside you are bursting and blasting with anger with people and with your companions and with your friends and with your parents and with your colleagues, you have really failed. You are a disaster. You will not accomplish the task. That is where science of self-purification, tazkiyah nafs, comes in. You see, it penetrates to the deepest level of human spirit and human self and the heart, and it brings out and manifests the defects, so that when a person really goes out in the world, that person is not, he does not ruin himself. And that is only known in dealing when you interact with a person. I am good in the mosque, you are good in the mosque, alhamdulillah. If outside, if someone has looked with cynical eyes, which you think towards you, or have not spoken to you gently, or have done anything else has happened, which was beyond the control of other person or yourself, or a person has done a mistake in behaving. Now you leave everything and you completely become a devil-like person. You have failed. You have failed in the actual performance and the actual test, which was the ultimate aim. That's why Allah Azza wa Jal has sent and placed us on this face of the earth. Otherwise Allah Azza wa Jal could send us to a planet which we were living alone there. But a person would not know what's wrong and what are the defects in him when he cannot interact with other people. Allah Azza wa Jal placed on the face of the earth and also then placed it with other people. Now the task is actually how you deal and interact with. Yes, there are wars happen, disputes happen, but that is the part of the test, that how you should get and how you should attain. And in the dealing, if you alhamdulillah become successful, this is a good sign that you worship when you are practice of the ibadat or the in the place of the mosque and dhikr, alhamdulillah, is acceptable, and you can have more hope in Allah Azza wa Jal for its acceptance. So it is very, very important. The scholar say, the Imam Abdul Wahhab Sha'rani rahmahullah actually said, that he said that the people who travel towards Allah, the seekers of the pleasures of Allah, the seekers of the pleasure of Allah, they are such that when enemies misbehave and try to harm them, they do not harm and hurt the feelings and the hearts of enemies even. The seekers of the pleasure of Allah, Imam Abdul Wahhab says, are such people that they do not even hurt the feelings of the heart of enemies. And what kind of seeker you are? You are hurting the hearts of the friend, your friends and your family. How much a difference between you and them? So reflect, maybe you are not the true seeker. You have false idea. You are in a certain sense of confinement which you have understood, which is wrong.
they have said that awliya Allah and righteous people, their station, unka maqam to ye hai, that even they would not hurt the feelings and try not to hurt the feelings of enemies. In personal matters, they will not break the heart of the enemy even. And they said, how is it that you are breaking the hearts of your friends and your family with people you are living with other Muslims? So he said that this is, you cannot achieve. A person, taqwa, and his wariness and closeness to Allah Azza wa Jal is determined by his relationships and dealings with people. Hazrat Abu Salih rahmahullah is mentioned in the books. I'm just giving an example of the dealings. Hazrat Abu Salih rahmahullah, a saintly person. This is the people who really deserve to be called awliya Allah and Salihin, and who are the servants of Allah. Hazrat Abu Salih, hungry and starving from 2 days, nothing to eat, nothing to drink, only water. A person who is rich in any way does not mean that he is more close to Allah Azza wa Jal. Person who is poor does not mean that he is close to Allah Azza wa Jal. Person who is ill does not mean necessarily he is close to Allah Azza wa Jal. A person who is healthy just by itself does not mean that he is close to Allah Azza wa Jal. A person who is knowledgeable on itself does not mean he is close to Allah Azza wa Jal. So what is closeness? It is that the person is, if he is reacting as Allah Azza wa Jal wants him to act in that situation. If he is healthy, he is doing shukr, he is close to Allah. But if he is not doing shukr and thankfulness, he is utilizing his senses and his faculties in disobedience, he is not close to Allah. Person is ill and sick and he is complaining and cursing other people and himself and complaining to Allah Azza wa Jal, he is not close to Allah. But if he practices sabr and patience, he is close to Allah Azza wa Jal. So what determines closeness is having the right action or right reaction to a situation. Wealth or poverty, health or illness, knowledge or little knowledge does not determine. How much knowledge shaitan have? Shaitan ke paas kitna ilm hai? But because he is not reacting how he should be, so his knowledge is not benefiting. And there are certain people that who have minimum knowledge of deen, meaning that they know the faraiz and wajibat and what is farz, and they don't have additional knowledge, so but they are practicing what they know. So alhamdulillah, they are close to Allah Azza wa Jal. So Shaykh Hazrat Abu Salih rahmahullah, hungry, from starving from 2 days, 2 nights. He went onto a river bed to drink and to do wudu and drink some water. There he finds a fruit, an apple is mentioned in the books, just flowing with the water, with the flow of the water. When he did wudu, he picked the apple. Apple actually came where he was here. So he picked up and he ate the apple. Aapne kha liya. Now I'm showing you the difference between a person who is doing zikr and who is praying and who is pretending to be pious and righteous, like most of myself and actually some other people as well. Pretension, it is great deception. Pretending to be someone is something else. And being someone is something else. So Hazrat Abu Salih rahmahullah, awliya Allah Salihin, they really do not have any pretension. If they have behaved, they are behaving as they are actually inside. The inside and outside are matching each other. But sometimes their outer side is also better than inner self because they are most fearful and their behavior is near perfection. So Hazrat Abu Saleh ate that apple, hungry up to 2 days, 2 nights. But after he done wudu and he ate that apple, and he thought that I have eaten this apple, but I do not know that who this apple is. I have not asked the owner. I have not asked the owner or the person who possessed this this apple, and I have eaten. While it was in Sharia, he was allowed, at least that's an abundant thing and it's going somewhere to waste. If he does, so he can't eat, and he was hungry as well as such a situation. But he became worried. His hunger, he forgot about his hunger. His presentation and his presence in towards Allah Azza wa Jal, his presence on the Day of Judgment towards Allah Azza wa Jal, in the presence of Allah, made him fearful and shiver that what if I am punished by Allah Azza wa Jal due to this, that I have eaten without the permission. Now this gives a great lesson for people who go on Hajj and they don't benefit. Maybe they should think that they have not violated the rights of any human being, their earnings, or they have possessed wrongfully a piece of land or a money which, or something which they are not returning. So they are not going to benefit fully, obviously, when they go to Hajj, because the rights of Allah. As in the hadith it's mentioned that if a person dies holding the ghulaf and the covering of Kaaba there, praying, but still his sin of violating the rights of creation, or if he owes any money to other people, that is not going to be forgiven. Even a person become a martyr in the war, shaheed bhi ho jaye koi banda, before his first drop of his blood touches the ground, his sins are forgiven. But Rasulullah said, illa dain, but qarz, and anything which he owes any other person is not even forgiven for the shaheed. It's a very serious matter. That's why many of us, we are blocked, our progress is blocked. Because we think that our relation with Allah Azza wa Jal is fine, I am praying on time and doing other things. While the other people, the creation, the family, the society at large, it's okay, however I deal with them. No, that is completely wrong. So Hazrat Abu Saleh Rahmahullah, he began to walk with along the river bed on the side and thought, maybe I find someone who will be sitting there or washing apples. He didn't find someone, but he found a very large garden in which there was apple tree, the trees which were bearing fruit of apple there. And many of them were on the riverbed, and it was spread on this side, both sides of the riverbed. So he said this, definitely that most probably the apples actually have fallen from here. So he asked the person who owned that garden, not owned but was looking after, the guardian or the person who was the security person working in the garden. He said that I have eaten an apple, and from this garden I assume it fell, and I want to ask forgiveness. And he said, don't worry, koi baat nahi hai, if you have eaten, don't. He said, do not, you really cannot forgive me. Aap nahi mujhe maaf kar sakte, because you yourself are a worker. You yourself are a worker. If you cannot. So similarly, if a person is working in any shop or anywhere, he is not allowed to actually give discounts without the owner. He says, no, leave, actually, it doesn't matter. Or a person is doing a business. If he is in a working stage and he is employed, so he cannot give certain privilege to other people without the actual company if they sanction it. So he said, no, you are here working, but you cannot forgive me, I said, because you do not own this garden. So how can you actually forgive? So I want to speak to the owner. So he went and he called the owner. I mean, the owner was also a righteous man. He said, Shaykh Abu Saleh said that I came to ask forgiveness from you for this apple which I have eaten. Your permission, I will give whenever I have something to the value of it or how much it costs, I will give it to you. But I don't have it at the moment. If you can forgive me and give some time. So that owner was a righteous man. He thought that people, that this is a wonderful, exceptional man that will come. The day and night I have kept a guardian in my garden of apples and fruits, that he and so many people I have who are just looking after my trees and apples, because people day and night come and steal apples, and even though they have been punished so many times, they still come at night time and they get away with few apples or baskets. And this man, or ye banda, who miles on in a river bank, so inside he knew that this is an exceptional person. Today as well, if you talk about or deal in by taqwa and by lawfully following the commands of Allah with non-Muslim, with Muslim, people are surprised that why a person is so much cautious. But because they do not know what they have to face on the day of judgment or the time of death. So that is why it looks. And they are unaware. So one cannot say anything. So that person said that, yes, I am going to forgive you, but there are two conditions. One condition I will tell you now, and the other condition is after you fulfill the first one. He said, what is it? He said, my first condition is that you have to work for me for 1 year looking after this garden. 1 year, no pay, nothing, only I will give you place to live and eat and drink, and you can. 1 year you have to spend. Think about it. He thought for a while, and then Shaykh Abu Saleh thought deeply, and then he said, okay, I will accept this condition. Imagine, so when I am also violated the rights of other person, maybe swearing to other people, maybe misbehaving, people even feel hard and heavy-hearted even to ask forgiveness from other people. Now that is a really very strong manifestation of the nafs and evil self. The evil is so strong that it is not letting a person to actually ask forgiveness from the other person. He or she thinks it is my insult. It is my insult if I ask forgiveness. The meri bezati ho jayegi agar maine maafi mangi. But people who are purified or who are seekers of purification, they do not, because they are on the path, and this gives them an opportunity to show. So Shaykh Abu Saleh said, yes, I will work for 1 year. And he did 1 year. Because unko pata hai that on the day of judgment, a person can be punished for any sin, and he could be sent somewhere for millions and millions and years. So those people were more understanding reality, what's going to happen, because this time of this life is transient and it's going and passing, and it will pass soon, and your death or my death will also take place, and then there will be a new birth. That is actually a birth in a new life. Like a child is born, baby is born from the Alam-e-Barzakh to this, or Alam-e-Arwah to this life. So that is a death from that one part, Alam-e-Arwah. It's a death from that point of view and birth in this world. So when the death takes place of this world, it is a birth and continues in the other world. So that's why awliya Allah, they do not fear death. They do not fear death, and Rasulullah said, Al-mawtu tuhfatul mu'min, the death is a gift for a believer. Because he is going to be born, or he is going to be transferred to another realm where prophets, messengers, other righteous people are living. So it's a new birth for him. But he is not allowed to leave this world by himself, meaning committing suicide or anything like this as such. But it is another birth. So Shaykh Abu Saleh Rahmahullah said, we worked for 1 year long. And then he said, now I have worked 1 year and please accept my service and tell me the second condition. He said, second condition is that I have a daughter. Mere paas ek meri beti hai. I have a daughter who I want you to marry, but she is blind. She cannot see. She is deaf. She cannot hear. She cannot speak. She cannot walk. She is disabled as such. Shaykh Abu Saleh thought that this is a great responsibility. This is a great responsibility to take of such a wife that he has to serve her, and she will not be able to even fulfill her own needs. But still he said, he thought, by the severement and the insult on the day of judgment and the disgrace in the day of judgment in front of the prophets, messengers, the righteous people, the entire people of the earth is a great disgrace. A person with disgrace. Imagine a person is brought on the day of judgment. Like people, you are sitting, every person is looking at his own. This is the person, son of such and such, who Allah gave him the life so many years and gave him certain blessings, and that's how he has been using this blessing. This is the films he has been seeing, this is how he uses his eyes, and all more clear, more real than even a film, near reality will be shown in front of other people if a person does not repent. His parents are there, grandparents are there, the prophets, Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are there, and he will not be able to move here and there. Idhar udhar se nahi hat sakta. He cannot move from here and there. He there, standing there with the head down, such a distance. And then, a person even. So, Hazrat Shaykh Abu Saleh thought that this is a serious matter. He said, okay, I am even ready to marry. So, this we cannot go to that extreme as such, because we do not have that taqwa, as I said. But, yes, we can ask forgiveness from people if we do commit any wrong, if we have behaved in an angry mood or misbehaving with people or violated their rights in anyhow. It is a light burden. It is a light thing to ask forgiveness and to please that person in any way. And if someone asks forgiveness from you, you should also forgive. As Rasulullah ﷺ said, that if a Muslim asks another Muslim to forgive him, and that one Muslim who is asked forgiveness, he does not forgive him. He said, no, I am not forgiving you. He said that that person should not come on the day of judgment to my house, Kausar, for any water, for the drink which I am going to give. That person should not come to me. He might be forgiven by Allah Azza wa Jalla. It is right not to, if he does not forgive. But he said that this will be a privilege that I will be giving water or the juice of the house or the pond, or the river Kausar, special river signed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of judgment. He said that person should not come, and he will not be given the drink or juice or water of river of Kausar. Whoever will not forgive when he asked forgiveness. After forgiveness, when someone asks forgiveness, really the matter ends. One cannot ask for more, because Allah azza wa jal, we violate the rights of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives when a person asks. And he never reminds that person again. So, Shaykh Abu Saleh thought, this is a serious matter, yes, I should. He said, accept it. So, at the next day when the marriage took place, unka nikah ho gaya, and his wife was taken to him in the room, and when he saw her, she was a different person. She was not blind, she was not deaf. She was a very beautiful young lady, young woman. So he thought that this person, the someone by mistake has brought the wrong person, wrong woman. So he went back to that person and he said that you said such and such things, but she is not, as you have taken someone else there, maybe it's your another daughter, she is not my wife, which you said. He said, yes, this is your wife and this is true which what I said. But what I was referring to was in allegorical sense and testing your piety, because I did not want to marry my daughter as a wife to someone who is not a muttaqi at her level, at least to some level. The taqwa which she has, some comparable, it should be comparable. So I was finding someone, and Allah Azza wa Jal has sent you, and so I have been so much worrying that I would find a person, such a person in our locality. He said, but you said she is deaf and she is blind. He said, yes, I said that she is deaf because she never intentionally heard the sound of music in her ears, or sound of na-mahram, non-related male in her ear, or the words of riba or namima, or any kind of this which you also are doing the course that he. And I said that she is deaf from those things, deaf of using her ears in sinful way. She's dumb, she does not speak, meaning she has never uttered a word which displeases outwardly Allah Azza wa Jalla, and have never spoken to na-mahram, have never committed ghiba with her tongue, lied with her tongue. So that's why she is dumb. But she is dumb from sinful speech. Similarly, he gave the example of other organs. Her eyes also have never seen any scene which is unlawful. She has not glanced intentionally. She has never seen na-mahram man actually with her eyes as such. And her feet, she cannot walk because she has not walked out of this house without my permission ever. And that is also a very few times she never walked down. I never went to any sinful place or any market or any such place without my, which I don't permit. Her hands also have not touched anything unlawful, any na-mahram, no matter to which means. That is why. So now you understand that Awliya Allah in previous times as well, they have been training people, or and they are people who as a students or people from their, amongst their family who want to be self-purified in this session of self-purification. That this is like a first level of self-purification which you do. And he was exactly mentioning and indicating towards that level, that this is the level, and he mentioned it by that she is blind and she is deaf and she is dumb and she cannot walk and she cannot grab, and all these her organs that which can be used in sinful way, she is free. So meaning that she was she had completed at least first level and then beyond as well. But he mentioned just the basic first level because actually that is more easily understood. So Shaykh Abu Salih thanked Allah Azza wa Jalla and he became happy and pleased. And then they lived for a while, and then he also gave them a house, and they lived for some time, and then they migrated to somewhere else. By the way, this is the Shaykh Abu Salih and that lady, his wife, Al Khair. These are the parents of Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi. So from these people, these two people, husband and wife, Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah, their son, was born. Imagine, yes, sometimes from sinful people, righteous people are born. But Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah's parents, they were both Sadat from descendants of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were both, and also they were highly pious, as you have seen. But just one, there are many other stories and of Sayyidina Abu Salih, is the father of Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah as well. The level of taqwa and level of worship and dealing with people and his behavior and his acts and his mother as well. And by the will of Allah, he did not see his father. He died when he was quite young. And Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani rahimahullah. But the piety and righteousness which his father possessed were transferred to him as well. So I was saying to you, but this, his worship, alhamdulillah, ibadah in the sense of prayers and zakah and dhikr and tasbih and hajj and umrah and other things like this, that is all training so that when you enter the realm of this dunya with dealing and social relationship with people, that you can really perform well. You do not burst up like with anger or become such a person which really is has become inside the evil was there, but now it is manifesting. So all that person needs to do is that he needs to refer back to the mashayikh and ulama-i karam and salihin and other people to ask cure for them. So social relationships are also governed by Islam, especially in this month. As you know, I like to remind young people and youngsters about Valentine's Day as well. But that is also a sinful act or sinful concept, because even the church at one time wanted to reform it, because it was a history somehow. It was a pagan festival at ancient time. Pagan festival, jahil, people of ignorance who were bereft of any divine revelation. And they, what they did, like a lottery, like a raffle, they put the names of people together. And if the two names of male and female came for 1 year or more or so, they will stay together. And next year, they're going to actually be with another couple. This is the actual history of So when the church came to know this, and the people became the Catholic Church, because there was no Church of England at that time. It's very ancient. So if it's before the event of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this means that was the true Islam at that time, which is some of the followers of Jesus Christ. So the church tried to reform it. They said that, I do not fully know, but they said that now to get rid of this evil habit and evil festival, which is against the moral teachings of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam and Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, they found a name of a saint, Saint Valentine. So they would put similar wrappers or papers, and people would celebrate the day, but now not selecting partners or any sinful activity, but to attribute themselves to a saintly name or some kind of good concept. But again, because the church has lost the grip, you can say, or the government part, so this is when the church and state become separate. The state says your church has nothing to do with the state, and the church says church has nothing, and the church says that we would not interfere, which has been Islamic concept in the time of Isa alayhi salam, or the time of Moses, or time of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, because this is the dunya, the outside world is the real place where the commands of Allah Azawajal and His rules and regulations should be practiced. While other people have freedom, no one is forced to practice something, but or Islam, or then no one forced to, but yes, the government of the divine command should overrule. So the church and state became separate again due to several reasons. Again, now this day of Valentine's Day have come back to, was reaching about the same level or even worse than that, because firstly, at least they stayed 1 year together, and now it is even worse than that, and really it is a shameful and immodest concept which gives undue distress and tensions to people, because this is like a person who is openly becoming sinful. For example, in normal days he is a little bit shy, he cannot express his if he likes another person, but on this day he is bereft of all those emotions or modesty, and it is quite acceptable that that if your sister, your daughter, your wife even is working somewhere, it is perfectly okay for someone to come and approach her with saying that this is my gift to you, and Valentine's Day. So yes, people are ruined by it, even they believe it's right or not right, it doesn't matter, but it is a ruin. So religion of Islam, in all from Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam has said anything like this, is wrong, because there is the concept of justice, that if someone has a wife, no one should approach them. But this system or this concept, so as I was saying, that a Muslim should be Muslim in the mosque, place of worship, celebration. When Rasulullah ﷺ migrated to Madinatul Munawwara, he ﷺ said that today all the days of festivals you had at the time of Jahiliyyah and ignorance, I cancel them and give you 2 days, Eid al-Adha and Eid al-Fitr. He has those. So a Muslim in anyhow is not allowed to participate in any sinful activity as such, because this will unknowingly he will violate the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal, and then he will be setting an example for his younger brother, sister, or children, other people. So a person should not come under a peer pressure or anything like this as such, and he should be cautious. So Sayyidina Imam Abdul Wahhab Sharani rahmahullah said that apne dost aur ahbab aur milne walon se pehle zyada mel jol aur dosti mohabbat ke sath hadiya wagaira bhejne ka bartao un logon se kiya karo jo humse karahat karte hain aur hamari tanqees ke dar pe rehte hain. So he said that this is part of tawazu and humbleness and humility, and it is related to that. He said, before you send and give gifts to people who you like, the family you like, the friends you like, you should adopt the manner of sending gifts and giving gifts to those people who do not like you. Who do not like you or hamari tanqees, and they are always finding an excuse to disgrace you, dishonor you, and somehow actually outdo you in many different ways. This is a part of the tawadu, or this is the part of the covenant. This is also covenant taken from him. Kyunki isme jis qadar mujahid-e-nafs hai, zahir hai. It is obvious the mujahid-e-nafs, the striving of the nafs, it is greater, he said. Rather than giving gift to you, a person you will like, alhamdulillah, you should give. It is a representation of love. But he said that to treat this illness which you have towards people, animosity and hatred, then it is difficult, but sometimes you have to take the medicine, drink, although it is not very sweet. Is surat se is tanqees karne wale ki karahat aur adawat bhi kam ho jayegi. And he says that in this way the animosity which the other person has will also reduce after some time. Immediately it might not, that you are behaving goodly with the person and you gave him a gift and he or she did not return it or did not still adopt a good behavior with you, towards you. Now this does not have an immediate effect, that it is not a quick fix thing that you will give a gift and that person will become very much beloved of you or will love you immediately. It might take some time, but he says that yes, it will decrease the evil which is in with the person is trying to do. So تو ہم اس کے شر سے محفوظ ہو جائیں گے. وی ول سیو اوور سیلف, وی ول بی پروٹیکٹڈ فرام ہز ایول, اور وہ ہماری آبرو ریزی کے گناہ سے بچے گا. اینڈ وی ول بی ہیلپنگ ہم, سو بائی ہی ول ابسٹین فرام اڈاپٹنگ سچ بہیویئر ٹو ہارم اس, بیکاز اٹ از اے گریٹ سن ٹو ہارم اس. سو ہی ول بی ایون سیونگ ہم فرام اے سن اینڈ آلسو اوور سیلف. اینڈ اٹس آلسو مینشن ان دا قرآن this concept that a person, this is a formula to make a person befriend a person. If a person is your enemy or they have, you have fallen out, if you truly with your sincerity you adopt good behavior when he is, has an evil or ill behavior with you, and also send him gifts, wo ho jayega. Like it is, you hear now and then Imam Hassan Basri rahmaullah, the great scholar and the great wali and khalifa of Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, someone said to him that someone is accusing you, they say such and such things about you, and they said that some people sit in your majlis of waaz. He used to, in once or twice a week, he used to hold a majlis of zikr and waaz, and he did deliver a speech. He said that some people, they talk bad about you after that, but some people are doing ghibat, such as in people are doing your ghibat, they're saying this and these faults and about you. Imam Hassan Basri rahmatullah sent them gifts. Aapne unko tohfe bheje, a tray full of fruit and other good things through his student, and he knocked on the door and he said that this is a gift from Imam Hassan Basri. Why he has sent gift? He sent a message that he has heard that you have sent and transferred some virtuous deeds into my book of deeds. Because what wise he was referring to was that, because when a person commits ghibat or slander against anyone, the good deeds of yours are transferred to the other person. Maybe you have got up for tahajjud for 1 month, full 1 month, at 3 o'clock at night, and doing zikr, two hours zikr and things like this. And after 1 month, 5 minutes, you have done ghibat of someone. Maybe a 15th day of all reward of tahajjud is transferred into the book of deed. Another person, while he has been sleeping with legs spread up to at the morning, doing nothing, and on the day of judgment, he is going to have 15 tahajjuds. Well, on your part is omitted. So it's a great, actually, unknowing a favor which a person does. So if even you really dislike other person, you should not really benefit the other person as such. But Imam Hassan Basri rahmatullah is saying that this is a gift, small gift, the real thing which you have transferred to my book of amal, my book of deeds. I can never recompense that, because it is such virtues are such precious thing, itni qadr hai nekiyon ki, but this is a small gift. So he became a very close friend of Imam Hassan Basri after. Wo bahut ala dost ban gaye Imam Hassan Basri. So that's what Imam Abdul Wahhab Sharani rahmatullah said. And اور جو لوگ ہم سے محبت کرنے والے ہیں ان کو مدارات وغیرہ کی چندہ حاجت نہیں, کیونکہ ان کی محبت تو پختہ ہو گئی. اینڈ پیپل ہو لو اس اینڈ ہو لو یو, فار دیم یو ڈو ناٹ نیڈ ٹو ڈو دیز ایکسٹرا تھنگز, بیکاز دے آلریڈی لو یو اینڈ دے ہیو گڈ اپینین اباؤٹ یو. تو ان شاء اللہ دین ہی سیڈ فردر دیٹ کہ تمام اہل معاصی کے ساتھ نرمی سے بات کیا کریں, دیٹ ٹھوک جینٹلی and with tenderness with people who are even sinful. With sinful people, you also talk gently. There are times when, yes, scholars and ulama or the judges or the people who are in government, they need to be take the hard stance as well. But this is in general, that tamam ahli masjid, all sinful people, talk gently with them, narmi se baat karo unse, and become humble. Maslan, zulm karne wale, people who oppress, sharab khor, the alcoholics, the addicts, the drug addicts, the gamblers, and other people like this. کیونکہ اس طرح وہ جلدی ہمارے متی اور منقاد ہو جائیں گے, بیکاز دس وے دے ول بیکم تھرو دا ٹروتھ مور کوئکلی رادر دین دی ادر وے, بیکاز دے آر آلریڈی بیکم ریبیلیئس اینڈ یو ڈو ناٹ ہیو اینی پاور اوور دیم آف یور. سو دا بیسٹ وے فار یو, اف دے آر گوئنگ ٹو بینیفٹ, اف دے آر گوئنگ ٹو بینیفٹ, دے ول بینیفٹ ان دس وے دیٹ یو. جب حضرت داؤد علی نبینا علیہ الصلاۃ والسلام کے نفس کو گناہگاروں کے پاس بیٹھنے سے نفرت پیدا ہوئی, میں حضرت داؤد علیہ السلام, داؤد علیہ السلام دا پروفیٹ آف اللہ, وین ہیز سیلف بیکیم ابہرڈ اینڈ ہی ڈس لائک بیکاز پیپل وار سننگ ویری ایکسیسولی, ہی ڈس لائک سن اینڈ فور دیئر ریٹریبیوشن اینڈ ایڈمانشمنٹ اینڈ گیونگ دیم اے لیسن, ہی وڈرو ہمسیلف, ناٹ ہیٹنگ دیم اے سچ, بٹ just to get, to give them a lesson that they should not. That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also, and at his time when he when someone died, a Muslim died, and he would ask that if he has qarz, if he owes any money to anyone, if that person owed money a large amount, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would ask other companions to read janaza on him, and he would not participate himself. And many a times if he Prophet صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم would even give قرض on his behalf when any Muslim died. So Prophet, if someone said, demanded that says, we have this, this is our demand, and he borrowed such an amount of money from us, and Prophet صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم gave them money from out of his own pocket and actually then led janaza. But few times, just to, for admonishment, Rasulullah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, to make people aware, it is a serious matter, it's not a joke actually that you are eating and digesting the food of unlawful wealth of other people and not even feeling what you have actually done. So it's a serious matter. So Dawood alayhi salam withdrew himself. So Haq Taala ne unke paas wahi bheji ke ae Dawood, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent revelation. He revealed to Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam, Haq Taala ne wahi bheji ke ae Dawood, oh Dawood, جس کی حالت درست ہے اس کو تو آپ کی ضرورت نہیں. Whoever is pious and righteous, he does not need you. Whoever is pious and righteous and a good doer, جو پہلے ہی نیک ہے, اس کو تو آپ کی ضرورت نہیں, he does not need you. اور جس کی حالت خراب ہے اس کی کجی دور کرنے سے آپ اعراض کرتے ہیں. And whoever is evil and sinful, you withdrew yourself from them. تو پھر آپ کو پیغمبر کس لیے بنایا گیا ہے؟ Then why have we made you a prophet? We made you a prophet actually to go to the evil and sinful people. So that's how Anbiya alayhi salam has been doing. And people who are already pious and righteous, جو پہلے ہی نیک ہیں ان کی تو ضرورت ہی نہیں, وہ تو نیک ہی ہیں. تو ہمیں یہ امام عبد الوہاب ایگزامپل یہ دے رہے ہیں وہ بتانے کے لیے کہ دیکھیں کہ بھائی جو لوگ نیک ہیں, دے ڈونٹ نیڈ اور جینٹلنس, دے آر آلریڈی پائیس اینڈ رائٹیس, ایون اف یو ڈونٹ پے اٹینشن ٹو دیم ایز سچ, دے آر ایکچولی گوئنگ ٹوورڈز پیراڈائز اور جنہ, اور ایٹ لیسٹ دے آر آن دا رائٹ ٹریک گوئنگ ٹوورڈز دا گڈ. بٹ دا پیپل ہو نیڈ اس, دے آر دوز پیپل ہو آر سنفل, اینڈ دا وے ٹو ڈیل ود دیم از ناٹ ٹو hate that person, as we have said previously as well, you must not hate a person as a human being, a sinful Muslim. Sin, hate his sin and be gentle with him and sit with him and try to bring him close to Allah. That is how in India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, in those areas, Sufiya Ikram and Awliya Allah, they converted millions and millions of Hindus into Islam. All people were Hindus from the very beginning, so they were converted to Islam. And now as well, the many Hindus, they go and visit and they sing songs and naats of qasidas of praise of Awliya Allah, different Awliya Allah were buried in India and Pakistan. They would even sing praise now as well even, and they would dance and praise them, and about even Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they sometimes, it has been heard, I myself has heard, they are praising them. And due to the deep people, Awliya Allah Salihin who came into the subcontinent and in India or Pakistan, that they people were Hindus. If they are considered when they were living in, let's say, in an Arab country, in Iraq or in Arabia or in Syria, and it, that they are old evil people worshipping idols, they are Hindus and they are out of Islam. And if they would hate them, how would me and you today be sitting as a Muslim here? Hum kis tarah aaj Musalman banenge? So in spite of their knowing that they are sinful, not they are only sinful, but they are very sinful, they are committing shirk, they came to them, even Hindus they brought close to them and let them sit with them, they will eat with them. So that has been the way of Awliya Allah and Sufiya, and it is Sunnah. Rasulullah SAW also was sent to Kuffar and also the entire Ummah. There were no Muslim as such living, which as few people believing at very remote places as Isa alayhi salam, the true religion, but in Makkah, Medina, Munawwara, the Rasulullah was sent to the Kuffar. So today, what does it mean for us? For us, these sinful people, it can be your cousin, brother, family, community people, even non-Muslims. So to abhor them, to hate them, and not to let them sit with you as such. So this is the wrong behavior. So they should find the best, you should be the best people who they can find comfort in sitting with them, that they find tranquility and peace, and not that you are, that they are detested. Phir Haq Taala ne Daud alayhi salam par ek halat tari ki, jis par unko mutanabbeh hua, aur Haq Taala se maghfirat aur maafi mangi. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put Daud alayhi salam through a test, a kind of test which a person can go through. So Dawud alayhi salam then were more aware of that a person, how a person, that these people are also being tested severely. And I am a prophet and I find hard to pass the test of Allah Azza wa Jal to these people. So there was a state, there was a certain state he was put through, and but he was tested with a sin, but he was saved by Allah Azza wa Jal. Uske baad wo us tarah dua mangne lage. Then he used to pray in his prayers, Ey Allah, gunagaron ko bakhsh de, taake unke saath Daud ki bhi maghfirat ho jaye. Oh Allah, forgive the sinful and sinners so that Daud is also forgiven with them. Daud is also sinful. Oh Allah, forgive the sinful. And before that he used to pray, usse peshtar wo yu dua manga karte, Ey Allah, nafarmano par azab de. And before that, he also sometimes used to pray that, Oh Allah, send your punishment and chastisement on the sinful people. And because Anbiya alayhi salam, they are at very high level in the love of Allah Azza wa Jal. So for them, anyone misbehaving, meaning adopting any action or manner against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they hate so much that Allah's that action that they cannot tolerate, and they say certain prayers against them. That's how different nations were also destroyed in the history. Ibn Ataullah, Sheikh Ibn Ataullah Sikandari rahmatullah alayh, parshad hai ki jis maasiyat se zillat aur inkisar dil mein paida ho, us itaat se behtar hai jo izzat aur takabbur paida kare. He said that better than that ibadah, that good act or that obedience, if it results in arrogance and self-likeness and boastfulness, that sin is better, which results in lowliness and toward becoming more submitting to Allah Azza wa Jal and considering oneself lowly and humble and humility. If the sin results in becoming more humble and humility, say, in as far as the result is concerned, it's better than that worship and that ibadah, which ends up a person boasting and thinking himself of better of others and things like this. Ey Aziz, so he says, my beloved, gunahgaron par dil se meherban ho jao. Become compassionate from the heart towards the sinful people. Unko narmi ke saath nasihat karo. Counsel them with gentleness and tenderness mostly. تم اپنے زمانے میں حکیم وقت ہو جائے گی. یو ول بیکم دا وائز آف دا ایج, یو بیکم وائز پرسن آف دا ایج, بیکاز دس از وزڈم. اور اب مگر تم اپنے دل میں اتنی قوت پاؤ کہ ان کے ساتھ بھائی سے دیر از ون کنڈیشن دیٹ یو یور سیلف یور ایمان از سچ اسٹرانگ اینڈ یور اسٹیٹ آف ایمان اینڈ آئی ٹی از سچ اسٹرانگ کہ ان کے ساتھ میل جول رکھ کے کہ دین پر ثابت قدم رہ سکو. That you yourself are not drowned in their sinful, in sinfulness. You are not dragged in their amal. کہ آپ نصیحت تو کرنے جاؤ دوسروں کو نرمی سے with gentleness. And you yourself are weak at this stage or at a moment. And when you go towards this in a such a place, you yourself are affected by it. And you are doing the same thing actually after some time. While the other person is also there. And you are doing the same thing as him. So he is saying that when you have become attained some soundness and firmness in your deen and iman, then you should at least turn. It's like a person who is swimming. If he can swim confidently, and he says that I can actually go to the shore, now he is in a position to save other person. If he thinks that yes, I know swimming, but only I know that I can swim and take myself a little bit of difficulty towards the sure, but if I try to help someone else, my swimming skill is not such that I will be able to take, but I and the other person will drown together. So okay, then that person should avoid. That person should avoid, actually, he should work on himself. ایسے لوگوں سے ملتے جلتے بھی رہو, اگر وہ تم سے نفرت کرے تو تم ان کے پیچھے پڑے رہو. He said that you should mingle with these people and even they do not like your being there. پھر آہستہ آہستہ, then gradually, you see, gradually, چپکے چپکے, silently, with حکمہ, with wisdom, گناہوں کی محبت ان کے دل سے اس طرح نکالتے رہو کہ ان کو خبر بھی نہ ہو. That extract the love of sins from their heart, gradually, even they would not feel. So when you meet someone first day, it's not that all the deen you have learned, you present them in front of them. Because they are going to feel burdensome and they are not going to understand. Just consider your own situation. How long did it take to you to come to this stage? Maybe 10 years, maybe 14, maybe 2, maybe 4. Why do I expect the other person, actually, that all the deen where I have come maybe in 14 years and I want the other person now to understand everything and to be upright in action? And this happens with very frequently with non-Muslim who revert to Islam, jo Islam aate hain, that people get around them, and maybe I have spent my 25 years in my life, and the level which I am now, or even I am not, I am implementing all those things on him. Brother, you should do this. Sister, you should have this hijab, and that's how you should. And brother, you should have beard, and etc. etc. This and all the deen implement on them. This is against wisdom. Deen never came like this, and it's never meant to be like this. So that's why you see sometimes people become doubtful when with great scholars or ulama or people who have been trained by ulama and awliya Allah. That sometimes sinful people sit with them for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. They might not have beard, maybe they are alcoholics. They are wandering around with them, but they do not say to them anything. But even they do not know that they are under tarbiyah. They are under the tarbiyah and under the spiritual training. Even those people do not know, and they would not feel. But one day, after 1 year, 6 months, 8 months, 2 years, their state will change. They will not say. Let's say, for example, that you follow the sunnah. You must follow the sunnah. It is a good thing and highly recommended, and one should. Because there are certain states which cannot be attained without following sunnah. Someone is eating first day with you, has come from outside, or second time you have met him. You are sitting in the sunnah way eating, and that person was also eating. Someone has never taught him, he is not even completing his faraiz at that stage, and he is eating. So you do not need to implement all the sunnah of eating on him. Brother, you should sit like this, and you should take this. Maybe that person is put off in such a way that he will never sit with you again or come to you again. تو آپ دیکھیں that where you were the first day when someone told you have been and how long it take. So similarly with wisdom, compassion, like a mother or father have the compassion on the son. Let them be with you. تو فرما رہے ہیں کہ آہستہ آہستہ گریجولی چپکے چپکے گناہوں کی محبت نکال کے رہو تو ان کو خبر نہ ہو ایون دے ڈونٹ نو یہاں تک کہ ان شاء اللہ ان کی کڑی دور انٹل دیٹ دے آر ریفارم اینڈ سینس آف اویئرنیس سو دیٹ از وائی آئی سیڈ دیٹ سم ٹائم ود اولیاء اللہ ہندوز بین سٹنگ فار لانگ ٹائم حضرت شاہ عبدالعزیز محدث دہلوی رحمۃ اللہ علیہ ہیڈ اے ہندو فرینڈ ہو یوز ٹو کم اینڈ ہی واز اے ویری fundamentalist type of Hindu and Shah Abdul Aziz Muhaddas Dehlvi was also a great scholar and wo bahut bade alim and all his life he has been Hindu and until Sayyidina Shah Abdul Aziz Muhaddas Dehlvi died Shah Abdul Aziz died he still remained Hindu but then the son or the Khalifa of Sayyidina Abdulaziz Muhaddas Dehlvi, he was there now. So he came in routine, that Hindu, he came in routine to his, to that place and sitting in the mosque and doing, has a bath there. So he said that he did not like it. And then he began to worship the sun there, sitting there in the madrasa or in the zaviya there. So the Khalifa or the one of the descendants, his descendants were quite upset and he said that this is not right and he said some harsh words to him. And he said, my son, that your father has been with me and he has never said this to me like this. And so he felt, so he asked forgiveness and he left. But after some time, when he still was coming and continued coming, he would come every day or so in a particular time, have a bath and ghusl and worship the sun. So, and we sit, eat, everything. One day he said to the his Khalifa, that the sun, this sun which I worship every day, does it, how does it know I am worshipping it? Is there any, it knows I worship him? So he said, Uncle, I don't know how it knows, but you tell me, because you worship it every day. You know more about your God than what, I ask me about my God, I can tell you, but you worship something. If it knows or not, that you should tell me. He said, I think that he doesn't know. It sets every day, and it rises in the same way. I never know it has heard me or even know that someone is worshipping. So he said, it's up to you what you think. And so he did not say even anything. So next day he came and said another thing. After all he said that, son, I think I should become a Muslim. I should believe in such God that who at least knows I am worshipping him. Even I worship him less or more, that at least he knows that what the servant is doing. So he became Muslim and he became also, because he was a purified person, meaning in the sense that he was not, although he was Hindu, but we are practicing the Hindu religion. You see, these people when they become Muslim, they also practice the Islamic religion. And who are lazy in Kufr, when they become Muslim, they are lazy again. So sometimes actually a person brings them, and sometimes radically there is a change in the person. So there are many stories and guidance of those people who have given on this issue. So Buzurgan Adeem ka maqoola hai ki tumhare bhai ko sabse zyada tumhari haajat us waqt hoti hai jab ko ghoda thokar kha ke use gira de. She said that the mashayikh awliyaullah, meaning the teachers of Sheikh Imam Abdul Wahab Sharani, say that your brother needs you when he has fallen down from the horse, or someone has struck him, or the horse has struck him, and the brother, and the human being or your friend or your brother is lying on the way injured and wounded. It's at that time he needs you. Bas aise waqt mein bhi agar tum kaam na aaye to kaise bhai ho. So if even in this state you do not help him, how will he, when he is walking very healthy and physically he is good, he doesn't need you. But he is in the most need when he has fallen down. meaning that he really means that when a person is traversing through the path of Allah Azza wa Jal towards Allah, when a person falls, meaning he's become sinful, wo gunahgar ho jata hai, then he has fallen really. Wo raste mein gir pada hai, from sirat mustaqim he was traveling, now he has passed, he has fallen. So now if you really are his brother, meaning your brother has sinned from in Islam, and also if he's a kafir, a disbeliever, still he is the descendant of Adam and Islam. And I have mentioned to you that Allah sent almost majority of the Anbiya and Prophet and the messengers to kuffar, and the kuffar ki tafdeh, and to the disbelievers. So Imam Sharani is saying that at that time he needs you most. Now go and pick him up. If you are otherwise, you are not really his brother, or you do not really have right guidance. Isse malum hua ke khuda ki taraf bulane wale ke liye gunahgar log misal gum shuda cheez ke hain. This means that a person, he said that who is lover of Allah Azza wa Jal, who is inviting people towards the deen, for him the sinful are like his last property. For him, the sinful people and kuffar and disbelievers are like his last property, because that's his job actually, to bring people to Allah Azza wa Jal. If he has been charged with it, he has been commanded, every one of Ummat-e-Muhammadiyah is commanded to call people towards goodness. So, but the, really the task which you are given, if you are given a task to, let's say, survey buses, so whenever you see any bus, that's what you want, you can note down, or survey what women are working, how many hours they are working there. So when you see any women, that's what actually the information you want from, or a certain. So this person, his last property is actually people who are sinful or kuffar. So when he sees, he should not run away from them, because that's what his job actually. So if you are doing a survey of students, so when you see a student, you should not run away and hate them and not even sit with them. But if you really want information from them, you should even invite them goodly, with good behavior, and sit with them, talk with them. Then they will give you their heartly information which they have. So similarly, he's saying that it is like misl gumshuda cheez ke hain, unki talash mein salihin aur ulama ko lage rehna chahiye. People should. So we should find our last property. Isiliye aap tabligh mein jaate hain, going to a tabligh or gasht and inviting other people. So you are finding your own property. That's property, that's what you're doing. Agar unki fikr chhod denge, when you will leave worrying and considering about them, and they will go more and more into gumrahi and astrayness and away from Allah Azza wa Jal. To andesha hai ke ulama and those people who know, se qiyamat ke din haq ta'ala us par muakhda farmayenge. Then there is a concern that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to help hold accountable those people who know and did not even invite and call these people to the right path and righteousness. Then he prays that may Allah Azza wa Jal guide me and you to the truth. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. If there's any question or comment anyone wants to make, they are welcome.
Hello, I have a question. One of my friends, he's not a Muslim. He sat down most of the time with me. He asked me some kind of question, especially for Monday night. Thursday night I go the other day sometime before TV.
Yes.
And he would like to communicate to this DK, and he wanted to get permission of you, can he come? He asked me.
Right, okay.
And it is very nice and plain, gentlemen. It's a studying Muslim thing, but he is not Muslim. He says so. He said, I'm not a Muslim yet, but I don't understand fully yet what it is Muslim. Okay. Maybe I'm not
I have understood what you are saying.
By all means, you can. Anyone is welcome, and bring him. If you want to have a sitting, still I will, inshallah, give time and serve him and however. But then if he just want to come participate in the dhikr and sit, so he can also come. By all means, there is no pabandi.
He is ex-policeman. He's been three times in Bangladesh,
if he not even understands, you see, as I was saying before, by that people who do not understand, who are not like Muslims, who do not know how to sit, even these people are in more need. Even if they, inshallah, he doesn't know anything, if he comes here. No. So this is, he had by all means, he's welcome. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even those Christian priests and scholars who came to debate with him, even he let them stay in the mosque, live in the mosque, and also eat and worship in the mosque. Jo Isai Najran se aaye the, and then they had debate with him as well, but he honored them in such a way. So ye Muslim aa sakte hain bilkul. So ye bahut buri baat hai. It is a detestful thing that if a new Muslim or any brother who was not coming to the mosque, he comes to the mosque first day, and then people who are from 50 years sitting in the mosque or 20 years coming, they try to give him such looks. Maybe he's not wearing a cap, or uski dadi nahi hai, or he's wearing trousers or such anything. Give him look. Someone will say you should have a cap. Someone will say you don't know how to do wudu. So one is playing in the hands of shaitan like this. But even non-Muslims, you have after Rasulullah ki masjid mein kaun si masjid, which mosque can be more pure than actually the mosque or the place which where Rasulullah sallam lived and now he is buried. In that mosque, even one person urinated, but Sayyid Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam only told him, asked him actually after that this is a place of worship and one should, it is not for urinating, so it should be kept clean. So ye aap sallallahu alaihi wasallam ka ikhlaq hai. So that's why people should be able to, when they see you, they should feel that they should sit with you. Unko aap baithna acha lage, be it Muslim, be it non-Muslim, be it other people, ke wo bacche hain, wo aapke paas baithe. That's the behavior. And if they are, you are angry and agitated for nothing and shouting all the time, hating them, so the ulama and salihin, when they are even becoming, when they address people and sometimes they address very harshly, that is also compassion and mercy, but in the form of harshness, because their admonishment is also a part of compassion and mercy. Like mother and father. Mother also has love for the children. Father even have more, even love, he also has love for children. But the father's love is restrained by reason. It is also enveloped and mingled with reason and consciousness. Mother's love is uncontrollable love, which is completely blind. If the daughter or the son does a mistake, he still says that she is right, she's not done anything wrong. He does commit 100 mistakes, he will say, no, my son is right, he cannot do. Or she says that my son or daughter is most beautiful or handsome person in the world. That's her love. The father, they also love the children, but they also have sense of reason as well. They love with reason. So they, when the son or daughter are misbehaving or going on the wrong path, so their admonishment and their warning and their punishment is also a manifestation of love, but in a different way. But in the heart, yes, there is love. There is no.